This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back at the Paracast, and we have a subject that we haven't dealt with in a while. We're going to talk about Sasquatch instead of UFOs. We've been doing so much UFO stuff, and last week, as many of our regular listeners know, we were focused on the great debate. Are UFOs extraterrestrial or something else? We had a great group of people. Forum members, Thomas Morrison, Robert Brandstetter, whom many of you know if you follow our forums as Burnt State. We had Mike Jones, who is one of our forum moderators, talking from his palatial estate or shack or whatever it is in Australia. And we also had Marduk, real name Jason. So it was a fascinating journey, so fascinating, in fact, that we continue the discussion in After the Paracast. And the only way to hear After the Paracast is to sign up for the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com for more information. And once you do that, well, sir or ma'am, then you will be able to get that extra show plus a version of this show free of the network ads and lots of other content. Okay, in fact, recently we offered the first two episodes of Haunted from Paul Kimball and Holly Stevens. Of course, you had to ask for a special password to get the video and to see the video, but we did offer that as exclusives to Paracast Plus subscribers. So check it out. Might be a nice gift for the holidays, by the way. So check it out. And by the way, for regulars, they've asked me if we can add other payment systems to the Paracast Plus because we currently use PayPal and major credit cards. And I think we can set up something very near future, next month or two, that would involve you the ability to actually transfer the money to a bank account, from your bank account. So if you don't like PayPal, it's another option, plus.theparacast.com. So we're going to take a monster hike, a 100-mile inquiry into the Sasquatch mystery, kind of an odyssey, and we've asked Avril Seal to join us and explain what the heck is going on. Avril, welcome to the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. I sure appreciate you having me on.
So tell us here, this is kind of a backgrounder. Did you ever have a personal experience or something that led you to seeking information about the unknown?
Well, you know, it's interesting how people approach the unknown, be it UFOs or this subject or many others. You know, I've always been open-minded about it. And of course, you know, I came of age in the 70s and the early 80s. And of course, you know, the Patterson-Gimlin film was fresh in the 70s. And there was a wave of pop culture focus on Bigfoot. And, you know, I was aware of it in that sense. And then it just always interested me for reasons I can't entirely explain. I've always been drawn to the subject, and it kind of just seemed like, Not to get too new age about it, but the universe just kind of kept placing the subject in front of me, saying, you know, look at this, look more at this, pay attention to this, what's going on with this. And so I followed my curiosity about it, and it led me to some remarkable places.
Isn't that interesting about the universe, how sometimes it does things that you wish it wouldn't do, and other times it finds ways to take you into areas that actually make a lot of sense?
I think that's the way it works, and people have had different names for it over the years. And you know, I'm a person of faith, and so I have that connection to mystery too, and which I talk about some in the book. Some of the parallels between faith and belief in mysteries like this one, and there are a lot of parallels. But I had never had, to answer your original question, I had not had a personal experience. Until I was aware that there had been a lot of sightings in this particular area. And so from the first time I went out there, my eyes were open and my ears were open to the possibilities. And I don't want to give away too much of a spoiler about the book, but I'll say that it's interesting that one of my major themes in the book is that I don't think if I had not believed in them and had I not known that they were out there, according to lots of other people, I don't think I would have picked up on any of the things that I eventually saw and heard. I wouldn't have seen tracks. I wouldn't have heard vocalizations. I wouldn't have seen evidence that, and I actually did see. So it was kind of a gradual, the monster hike that the title refers to was my fifth trip to this particular forest. And of course the biggest one, the other ones had just been one off, you know, one night camping trips. But all that time I had been, my curiosity had been building about what was actually living out there.
All right, let's kind of run back a little bit more about your background. First of all, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in Texas, lifelong Texan, sixth generation Texan. And I grew up in deep South Texas in the Rio Grande Valley. It's 1 hour from the Gulf. It's 10 minutes from Mexico. And there really isn't forest to speak of down there. It's geographically, it's called the Tamaulipan Scrub. And it's mesquite and cactus and then palm trees that do very well down there, but are mostly imported from the Caribbean and from Africa. But so forests themselves were kind of a novelty that I only discovered really and experienced in adulthood, because growing up in the valley, as we call it, there aren't many trees that grow more than about 20 feet tall, and those are mesquite and a couple of, you know, oak trees here and there. But it was really, now I live in Austin, which is in central Texas, and where this hike took place was an hour north of Houston, which is about 3 hours east of me, of where I live.
All right, now that's an interesting thing here. I know that there are these places around the country where people see strange creatures, such as a Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call it. Now, right. In this particular area you're talking about, do other things happen there too, like UFOs, or is it strictly creatures?
I mean, as far as I know, you know, this is, I've heard people on other shows talk about dogmen, which sounds even, if there's anything that could sound crazier than Bigfoot, it's other sorts of hybrid type animals. But, you know, I don't have any evidence or real reason to believe that's out there. You know, I think across the continent, there is also another phenomenon of people seeing orbs of light in association with Sasquatch sightings. And I have no idea if that is, that's cause and effect, or if those are affiliated in some way, but it is something that you hear when you're in this world, and that there'll be these orbs of light just kind of, and these aren't, you know, descending out of the sky. They're just kind of appearing. People will talk about them just kind of appearing in the forest at kind of eye level, off in the distance, maybe, you know, 50, 100 feet off. And then other, you know, paranormal, other strange occurrences around those. And I have no idea if that's a causation or a correlation or if there's just strict coincidence. But, you know, my experience, I don't have any experience with that.
The reason I mentioned that is that Chris, of course, has written those books about the Mysterious Valley. And it's supposedly a hot spot where lots of strange, weird stuff goes on. And therefore, he looks into different areas around the world, we have the same thing, not just, well, there's Bigfoot here. There are UFOs. There are people reporting other weird phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you more about your background and experiences as we progress so that we can get a better sense of your odyssey here. And I'm going to ask you a few case histories, give people a little hint of what they'll get from the book Monster Hike A 100-mile inquiry into the Sasquatch mystery by Avril Seal, published by our friends at Anomalous Books. More to come. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
A commemorative President Trump dollar for only $5? Yes, the historic Trump dollar starts at only $5 at TrumpDollar.us. Choose from our unique three-coin collection in gold, silver, and copper. The Vote Trump Dollar, Inaugural Trump Dollar, and Make America Great Again Trump Dollar. Available only at TrumpDollar.us. Minted in the USA, our Trump dollars commemorate President Trump's patriotic stand. Order your Trump dollar collection today in time for Christmas delivery at TrumpDollar.us. That's TrumpDollar.us.
Attention, type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So you're in the Paracast. I have someone with me virtually from deep in the heart of Texas, Avril Seal, author of Monster Hike. Avril, one other question here. I don't know if you want to tell us or not. I assume you have a day job. Can you tell us about what you do?
I'll tell you some. I work at the University of Texas, and I'm sort of an all-purpose writer in the university communication office. And I've been blessed to be at this university for a long time. I was the editor of the alumni magazine for some 17 years and have worked for the university itself in several different positions. But suffice it to say, I'm kind of an all-purpose writer for the university's communications office.
Obviously, we asked this question, what do they think of your indulgences in the world of the unknown?
Well, this is a fairly recent step that I've taken to write this book. And those who know about it I'll have to say, are very supportive. And I appreciate that. I did not know how that was going to go, but I certainly appreciate their support so far.
What's interesting here, I think, is that we don't have the stigma anymore for people who write about this stuff, as long as, I guess, they don't get too crazed about it. Now, I'm looking over your background.
Let's not jinx it.
Well, you never know. I mean, someone will call you right now. The phone's ringing.
It's early.
Yeah. You also jumped into the world of fiction, which I've done. Can you tell me, just quickly as a background, what type of fiction is that?
Well, I will say I'm mainly writing nonfiction. I have written a couple of fiction novellas, really. I wrote a screenplay and a kind of a companion novella that was sort of a fantasy genre, I guess. And then I wrote another novella that was, I called it an afterlife comedy. There's a show on TV right now with a very similar premise, kind of a humorous take on the afterlife and the lessons that we might learn from this life. But by and large, I write nonfiction. I don't know that I'll go back to writing fiction. And interestingly, my first dalliance with the Bigfoot subject was fiction. I wrote a novella when I first started thinking about this stuff. And, looking back on it, it wasn't very good. This was about 20 years ago. But the effect that it had on me was that the research that I did to write that novel pretty much made me a believer. And kind of led me down a path. And, I think now I would probably not write, I'll never say never, but I'll probably not write a piece of fiction about this subject at this present time, because I think that that muddies the water. People, see somebody who's writing fiction, well, he spins a great yarn, he tells a great tale, and maybe he's telling tales about this too. I prefer to keep, I'm very serious about this as an actual fact. And I think if you kind of try to straddle that line or go back and forth between nonfiction and fiction, people just get confused about the fact that the subject itself is nonfiction. It is not a fictitious creature.
But let's talk briefly about your viewpoints about Sasquatch. So, and this is the fundamental of it here, do you think they are creatures beyond this world, or are they just earthly creatures that maybe we should know more about?
This is a question that there are warring camps over this, as with so many other things. I think that, and what I say in the book is that they are at least flesh and blood creatures. I have a friend of mine, I attribute that to a friend of mine, Christopher Noel, who's written a number of books on the subject too, but that's not to say that that's all they are. It's to say that they're flesh and blood creatures is not to say that they're basically just upright gorillas. I think it's entirely possible that they have abilities that we don't understand yet. And I think that we have to get away from this binary thinking that says that either we understand something 100% or it doesn't exist. Or for another set of people, either we understand something completely or it's magic, or it's extraterrestrial. And I guess this kind of goes to the show that you had the other night on ET. But, I'm perfectly comfortable saying that these are I know that they're flesh and blood creatures because they make prints. They leave prints in the ground. They leave hair behind. They have, you know, their scat and so forth. So they are physical creatures. Now, do they have other abilities to hide themselves that we don't understand? Maybe. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who claim that they've seen them basically just vanish into thin air. And it sounds crazy, but so do I to most people, you know. So you'll find that I'm very slow to call something crazy anymore. I'm very slow to say, oh, I've got the answers, and everybody else, you know, who's on the other side of one of these questions, are they flesh and blood? Are they extra dimensional or so forth? I'm very slow to claim exclusive knowledge of the truth and that everybody else is crazy, because frankly, we just don't know. And we have to get comfortable with the fact that we don't know. And I believe that attitude leaves the door open to greater knowledge, and to say that, people who think that they can cloak themselves, are just wacky. Well, that just kind of slams the door to future knowledge about that. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but it's not for me to say who's in possession of the truth about all this stuff.
What about things like dimensional portals, things like that, where they come from Earth 38 or whatever it is, and they come into this portal deliberately or accidentally and end up here?
I wouldn't say that I believe that. I don't think it's necessary to go to that length to explain them. But again, I'm perfectly comfortable saying maybe, you know, develop a theory and try to test it and go from there. And Godspeed. I haven't seen any evidence of that. And I don't know that we need to go to that. I mean, it's pretty incredible as it is. I don't think that, to me, that seems like kind of gilding the lily, to claim that they go in and out of dimensions. But again, it could be.
Well, you're taking it basically very careful. Very careful approach there, I see. You don't want to make assumptions about things. And this is one of the arguments that we were having in last week's show. Are we assuming too much when we talk about possible extraterrestrial UFOs? Because at this point, we know something strange is happening. We do have evidence of extrasolar planets. But it doesn't necessarily mean we can put the two together at this point. And that starts a lot. We have more to come with Avril Seal, author of Monster Hike. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at FullyCookedBacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Message and data rates may apply.
Warning. Texting while driving is illegal just about everywhere. So if you want to take advantage of a life-changing LASIK offer, pull over when you can, because a special opportunity is just one text away. The LASIK Vision Institute is offering absolutely free evaluations and dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. Text the keyword CLEAR55 to 350350 to get the benefit of FDA-approved LASIK technology that gives the majority of patients 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Text to schedule your free appointment to see if LASIK is right for you. When you text CLEAR55 to 350350, you'll also get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Today, it's your turn. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you've always wanted for a fraction of what others charge. This great offer is just a text away. Text CLEAR55 to 350350. That's CLEAR55 to 350350.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
We're continuing our exploration, or our preliminaries, about what led to a monster hike. And that's the title of a book from Anomalous Books from April Seal. April, why go on this voyage in the first place?
That's a great question. You know, I think I didn't set out to do a solo Bigfoot expedition. It kind of became that. I was creeping up on my 50th birthday. And like a lot of people, I wanted to do something kind of momentous to mark the occasion. And I was not in good enough shape, nor have I ever had any desire to do a marathon or skydive, which, as I say in the book, is over too soon, no matter how well or poorly it goes. But, you know, I've always enjoyed the outdoors. I've done a lot of camping with my sons. And a lot of hiking. And so this felt like something that I could do. And it wasn't, you know, the Appalachian Trail is, I think, over 2,000 miles. The Pacific Crest Trail, you know, these two twin pillars of American outdoorsmanship were sort of beyond my reach. I didn't have the vacation time to do that sort of thing. And I'm a father of three young boys. And so this Lone Star Trail in East Texas was something that I could do all of, and could do all of in about a week. As it turns out, it took me 8 days. I prepared for it for probably 2 years, just, you know, going on other hikes, kind of dialing in my gear, figuring out what I needed and didn't need. But all that while, in the back of my mind was, I'm going online, I'm looking at databases for sighting reports, and I'm noticing more and more and more chatter about Sam Houston National Forest. And so, these two things kind of developed in parallel. And, you know, if I had gone out there and done the hike and hadn't seen or heard anything interesting, there wouldn't be a book. You know, it wouldn't have been a monster hike. It just would have been my, you know, my 50th birthday hike. But it turned into something more interesting than that. Another part of this is that, you know, I believe in direct experience. You know, I had read enough books and seen enough videos and seen enough photos, purported photos, to last a lifetime. And so I had kind of reached the point where I wanted to either confirm it for myself or you know, move along. But, you know, at the root of it, it's just kind of a basic human curiosity. Do these things exist or not? And how could I, you know, what would it take? What would be the odds that I could go out there and experience something, either hear one or see one, see tracks, see stick structures, that sort of thing. And so as time went along, as I said earlier, this was my fifth trip, and on two of the previous four trips, I had experienced something that led me to believe that the reports that were coming from out there were true. And I can tell you a little bit more about those if you'd like.
Sure, please do.
Well, the very first time I went out there, I was on the eastern section of the trail called the Big Creek section. And I went with my oldest son, who then was in fourth grade. You know, we had Finding Bigfoot, the TV show on Animal Planet, had just come on that season, that year, I believe. You know, we had both kind of been watching it and interested in it, and saw those guys go out there and do wood knocks on trees and yell into the blackness and hear calls, vocalizations coming back to them and so forth. We had not been on a backcountry camping trip before. And so we took off, went out there. Like I say, it's about 3 hours from our home. And we got a little bit of a late start, and we pulled in at sundown. The sun had gone down. It was dusk. And we were about to go in on the Lone Star Trail, and this was a developed campground. There are two developed campgrounds out there on the trail. This is the eastern one called Double Lake, and there's a park host there. This is a national forest, and I think there's probably a private vendor who runs these campgrounds. And so this was in a serious period of drought too, and so we. What we were planning to do is just get out and hike into the trail a little bit and then go off the trail a few feet, camp, and then walk on in the morning. So we parked the truck. He and I got out. We were putting mosquito repellent on. And the park host comes up behind us quickly and says, "Oh, hey, how are y'all doing? Can't go out on the trail. They're not allowing camping on the trail because it's – we're in drought phase, and they're afraid trees are going to fall over on you." So I was like, "Well, that's kind of weird, but okay, we'll just stay in the campground and go out in the first thing in the morning." And right then, and Gene, we had not been out of my truck for more than 5 minutes. I hear this "woo" from across this dry lake bed.
Why, and it's Lon Chaney Jr.
And I turned to the park host, and I don't want to tip my hand. You know, I said, "What was that?" And he's messing with his phone or something. I said, "Oh, it's probably a coyote." And I looked down at my son, and he looked back at me, and I just raised an eyebrow. But we both just kind of laughed because this vocalization was just spot on. And I've heard a lot of coyotes in my life, and this did not sound like anything that I had ever heard. And, you know, coyotes do make a lot of otherworldly noises, and, you know, every night they do. But, one, the sun was not quite down yet, and two, you know, this sounded like something very loud, very powerful at a pretty good distance. You know, you can tell in the forest, if something is an owl that's 50 feet away, you can tell the difference between that and something that's screaming its lungs out half a mile away. The forest echo sounds different in both of those events. So I was fairly convinced at that time that that's what we had heard.
So, April, at what point did you decide that, you know, maybe that's not what I heard?
Well, I to this day, I think that is what I heard. But I think over time, time tends to smooth the edges off of memories, you know, kind of like water smooths the edges off of rock. And over the next year, 2 years, I started to entertain the idea, well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a coyote after all, or maybe it was a barred owl or something else. I think just because I didn't want to be that wild-eyed believer. You know, I wanted something more solid. And I got something more solid the third time that I went out. And I can tell you about that, too.
The third time is the charm. I'll tell you what, we have about a minute 10 for this segment. And by the way, if listeners are wondering what's happening with Chris, he is here, but we can't get his mic to be audible. He's taken an oath of silence or something. I don't want to say that. You know, sometimes these weird things happen. Let's be frank about it. Skype released a major update where the interface was completely overhauled. And I hate it. And Chris hates it. I can't ask April because he doesn't use Skype often enough to hate it yet. But believe me, that'll come. And it's got some of that artwork that's descended from Windows and Windows 8 Metro, where you have the stick pin lettering and all this silliness, and kind of simplified artwork that ends up being more complicated because they haven't got a sense of simplicity and elegance, that sort of thing. But I don't want to get into that. But we're going to talk about more things that Avril Seal encountered as he begins this great journey to find out more about Sasquatch. Okay, the monster hike. And what kind of monsters, huh? We'll find out. So Chris O'Brien is somewhere out there trying to break in. We'll have more to come. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, with Gene and now with Chris, we're going to take a monster hike. And I think the monsters have interfered, the monsters of Skype have interfered with us. Because what we had to do was we had to help Chris install an older version of Skype on his Mac, because the newer version is not letting him participate in a, what we call a group conversation with three people, me, Chris, and of course our guest, Avril Seal. And Avril is the author of Monster Hike.
Well, a couple of things, Avril, listening to when Gene was asking what do you think that we're dealing with here, and you seem to come down on the, you know, the cryptozoological side, the physical creature, undiscovered, unproven, but, a flesh and blood creature that has a breeding population that has to, you know, gather food and eat, and it has a life cycle and rears young and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a lot of the preponderance of the evidence would support that. But, again, I think you brought up the comparison to UFOs. There are certain cases that then kind of leave you scratching your head. My brother actually was involved in a case just below Stevens Pass in Washington State back in the mid-70s. And the creature walked across a logging road within a very close proximity of them. They didn't see it because they were on a curve. And the creature walked across before they actually made their way around the curve. It was, based on his descriptions, it was less than 100 feet away, but they never saw it. They smelled it. The horses smelled it. When they got the horses settled and got around the curve, there was a footprint on one side of the road. There was one in the middle of the road, the dirt, you know, it was like a dirt rot logging road, one on the other side. Grass was still coming up that had been crushed in the print. Grass was still raising up out of the print. Mm-hmm. And then there was a swoop mark on the bank, the cut through the hillside, and a broken branch at the top. But there were no tracks approaching and no tracks leaving. And it was similar terrain, and there should have been evidence of this creature approaching the road and leaving the road. And all they had were the 5 trace print evidence to go on, and there was no other evidence. And I've had other cases where tracks have stopped in mid stride. I've read about cases where you've just had a set of tracks that are isolated by the environment. How do we explain that without the creature being able to teleport or you know, obviously there's, you know, the whole possibility of people aren't just able to see the evidence. But in a couple of cases, I recall professional trackers have been left scratching their heads because they could not find any evidence of where the creature went, that its tracks ended inexplicably.
That's a great question. I don't pretend to know the answer, but one thing that might be playing in is that a lot of people believe and have seen them coming down out of trees. So I think they're probably more arboreal than people believe. Certainly the young ones.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yep, that makes sense. We were in the trees ourselves at one point.
Yeah. So if one were to just, you know, playing this out, if one were to drop down out of a tree, walk 50 feet, and then climb back into another tree, well, you've got a segment of a trackway there for the naturalistic explanation. But again, I'm not here to tell anybody that they haven't seen what they've seen.
Right. I never thought to ask, well, you know, what was the proximity of the trees? Of course, in that part of the Cascades, you mentioned that you'd been on the Pacific Crest Trail.
Oh, I have not. Just to be clear, I have not been. The point I was making is that I couldn't do that, nor could I do the Appalachian Trail, just for logistical reasons. And that's
right.
That's why I picked a much shorter, much more modest goal.
Yeah, I grew up out there in Western Washington and have hiked big portions of that particular trail, including the highest portion on the entire length of it, Dutch Miller Gap in that area. And I'll tell you, it is not for the faint of heart. That is some rugged country out there, and you'd almost have to be 7-8 foot tall to really negotiate a lot of the terrain out there comfortably. Because I'll tell you, I was 15 years old in incredible shape, and it really kicked my tail.
Yeah. Long stride can come in handy, I'm sure.
Yeah, it can. It reminds me of a case I investigated in Colorado in northern New Mexico, where he was like a cattle brand inspector, witnessed a figure, a white appearing Bigfoot, go up a fire cut that he tried to duplicate what the creature had done in about 40 minutes, and it took him literally half an afternoon to go up the stretch of fallen timbers. And, you know, they just cut down trees basically and left them where they lay in very, very steep, rugged terrain. And he gave up really even trying to do it because it was so difficult. And he remarked to me that it would have to have been superhuman athletic ability to be able to scramble up that particular stretch in the amount of time that it took. So, and this is, you know, obviously anybody who's had any sort of interest in this subject will encounter these types of descriptions time and time again of the incredible athleticism that these creatures have. You know, I've been away. I have not had a chance, I'll be honest, to go over the book. I'm really interested in doing so. You're getting great reviews, by the way, on the book. Lauren Coleman is calling it one of the top 10 books of the year, crypto books. Congratulations. He's a tough nut to tough nut to crack, believe me.
Thank
Lauren's,
you. Yeah.
He's now become one of the elder statesmen in this whole field. And
sure.
And having his recommendation is gonna help book sales. Let me tell you,
it meant a lot to me. Whether it helped sales or not, it meant a lot to me.
Well, yeah, just having Lauren say that is wonderful. But rest assured, a lot of people listen to what he has to say, and
I hope so.
And so it makes me want to read the book all that much more. Let's put it that way. I've had a lifelong fascination with Bigfoot. I finally got invited to speak at my first crypto conference.
Oh, yeah, right. Where's that?
Couple of months back, David Pilates conference that he had in Denver, the High Mountain Mystery Conference, I think he called it.
Nice.
That would be something that you would might consider doing is getting together with David and Ron Morehouse, I think, in that whole.
I know those names.
Very good conference.
Well, yeah, I haven't been really a part of this community yet. I'm kind of just parachuting into this subject in a way. I've been interested in it for a long time, but have not been in contact. But I know all these names that you're mentioning.
Right.
It would be fun.
about your trip. Now, we kind of unceremoniously interrupted, I might say. And you had mentioned that you had arrived at the campsite, and the camp host had heard the sound that you and your son had heard and said that it was probably just a coyote. I think that's about where we finally attempted to finally get me in the audio chain here. So well, why don't you continue from there?
Okay. Well, that, you know, so we went and did our hike and nothing really else happened that I can – I do remember that we stayed in camp that morning – I mean, sorry, that night, just on a regular old tent pad. And then – but we wanted to get a hike in. You know, we didn't want to come all that way just, you know, camp in the tent and go back home. We wanted to get a hike in. Or I'll speak for myself. I wanted us to go hiking. So we got up in the – before dawn the next day – just in the black of the morning and set out into the trail. And I just remember that I heard this big movement in front of me, something, it sounded like something moved, was on the trail and then moved off the trail. And in this part of the country, just so you can picture the forest, it's a pine forest, but the understory of this forest is completely dominated by yaupon. Yaupon holly, which is it can be a bush or a shrub or a tree, depending on what size it is. But the yaupon, you'll cover the south, and they go into about central Texas, and that's their range. But, a lot of the witnesses and a lot of the investigations that have gone on in these forests of East Texas, yaupon figures pretty heavily because it creates this thicket at the ground level. That really it could conceal anything. I mean, I say at one point in the book that a brontosaurus could be hiding, you know, behind a screen of this yaupon and you wouldn't know it.
You know what? We'll find out more about what's hidden there as we continue with Gene and Chris going on a monster hike. You're in
Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.